Okay, so thank you, Rabbi Bernstein, thank you, Rivka, and thank you to all of you for being here. The greatest gift that I think HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us is something that we call free will. And I want to begin by learning the Rambam together, the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. Interestingly enough, of all the places the Rambam, you know, could have placed these teachings, he chose to put them in Hilchos Tshuva. And it obviously, it must tell us a lot about what we're supposed to be doing during these days. So let's learn together the Rambam in the fifth parak of Hilchos Tshuva. Okay, the Rambam writes in source number one, Halacha Aleph, Rishus l'chol Adam Nisuna. The choice has been given to you. You can see the title of today's shir. The choice is yours. Rishus l'chol Adam Nisuna. Every human being is empowered with this awesome gift called free will, the ability to choose. Imratza lahatos atzmo l'derech tova v'lios sadik. If you want, and we have to believe this, we really have to believe this, it's so critical. Again, this is the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. It's so much a part of the Tshuva process. If you want to incline the direction of your life to the good path and to be a tzaddik, to be a righteous person, harishus biyado, the choice is entirely yours. Ivim ratza lahatos atzmo lederech rav lios rasha. And if a person, regardless, you can come from the nicest family, you could have the finest teachers in rebbeim, you could have the best friends. And if a person chooses to walk a path of wickedness, harishus biyado, the choice is yours. And Hashem trusts us. And Hashem empowers us, and Hashem believes that we can make the right decision. And that's a daunting responsibility. And it's amazing to think that Hashem believes in us so much that He would be willing to empower us in that way. And the Rambam writes, this is something that is unique to human beings, to the exclusion of animals, of anything else in the Bria, in the natural world. The Rambam writes, where it's bolded, Hein min ze shel Adam hayeyachid ba'olam ve'ein min sheni domalo bezeh ha'inyan. This character trait is unique to the species known as people. It separates us, again, from everything else. The table that I'm sitting at is a table, and it cannot choose otherwise. A blade of grass is a blade of grass and cannot choose otherwise. But as human beings, we have the ability to choose, to be righteous, to be wicked. It's something that sets us apart, and there is no other min, there is no other creation or species in the world that is comparable to human beings in this regard. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu trusts us and empowers us to choose. Halacha Aleph. Halacha Beis continues the Rambam. Don't you dare for a second think. Al ya'avur. It should never enter into your machshava. Davar zeh she'omrim tipshei umas ha'olam. That which many foolish people believe. Verov golmei b'nei Yisrael. And not only amongst the nations of the world, but many Jews who are not thinking properly fail to realize, or sometimes mistakenly believe, Shakadosh Baruch Hu gozer ala Adam mitchilas briyaso liot tzadik or rasha. That Hashem is forcing you from the time of your creation to be righteous or to be wicked. It's simply not true. Now, the Gemara does tell us that before we came to this world, Hashem gave us each a shvuah. We took an oath. Hashem told us, swear that you will be righteous and that you will not be wicked. So in other words, Hashem is our greatest cheerleader. Hashem wants us to be successful. He wants us to be righteous people. But Hashem's not going to force our hand. There's no gezerah, there's no divine will that demands that I have to be a tzaddik or that I'm doomed to be a rasha. Ein hadavar kein, there is no such thing. Ela kol adam ro'oi lo lios tzaddik kamosh rabbeinu o rasha ki ravam. Wow. Says the Rambam, every person could choose to be as the righteous Moshe, or as wicked as the evil Yeravam, who is described in Tanakh not only as a sinner, but a chote umachti, someone who sinned and brought other people to sin. That's a choice. Those are the extremes, as it were. Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeravam ben Nevat. And don't think that you're forced, says the Rambam, in any respect. If you want to be wise, or you want to be foolish, that's a choice. Some people obviously have somewhat of a natural intellect, but anyone can choose to be smart or choose to use even a great mind in a foolish way. A person could be Rachman or Achzari. You could be a person who's compassionate or a person who's cruel. These are all choices that we have to make. And the Rambam continues, and he says, continuing in Halacha Beis, the Rambam quotes the pasuk in Eicha, "Mipi elyon lo seitze ha'ra'os va'atov." From on high, there does not emerge good and evil. It's not something that Hashem forces. Ein abore gozer ala adam lios tov lo lios ra. Hashem doesn't force you to be good. Hashem doesn't force you to be bad. The choice is totally yours. And therefore, says the Rambam, part of the tshuva process is asking yourself, "What do I choose? Who do I want to be?" And the Rambam continues in Halacha Gimel, our third and final halacha from the Rambam today. Rambam writes, "Davar ze ikar gadol hu." This principle that we're learning right now is a major, major principle. It's a fundamental principle in Jewish belief. V'hu amud ha-Torah v'ha-mitzvah. And it is a pillar of a Torah life and a life of mitzvos. Hashem has placed before us the choice. Re'ei nasati lefanecha hayom esachayim. Your life has been given to you, and it's your ability to choose what you want to make of it. So these are amazing, amazing passages in the Rambam. Again, really the underpinning of our whole existence, certainly as human beings, and particularly as Jews. Okay, the importance and the great gift of free will. And let's talk about the Beis Hamikdash. How does the Torah describe the Beis Hamikdash? When the Torah talks about the Beis Hamikdash, how does the Torah describe it? How does HaKadosh Baruch Hu indicate to us that special place that we call the Beis Hamikdash, which we think about a lot during these days? The Slichos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, it's a process of coming to the Kodesh Kadashim on Yom Kippur. The Kohen Gadol goes Lefnai V'Lefnim, into the Holy of Holies. So it's very interesting. If you look in source number 2, you see the Pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, but actually 9 times in the Parshios of Re'eh and Shoftim and Kisavo, 9 times we find the phrase, Hamakom Asher Yivchar Hashem, the place that Hashem has, Yivchar, has chosen. Interesting, we're speaking about free will. 9 times we find the expression, Hamakom Asher Yivchar Hashem, again, in the 3 Parshios of Re'eh and Shoftim and Kisavo. Why is the Beis HaMikdash called the place that Hashem has chosen? The place that Hashem desires. How does the Rambam describe that section of Halacha where he describes the Beis HaMikdash? It's called Hilchos Beis HaBechira. Beis HaBechira, such an interesting name. It's not called Hilchos Beis HaMikdash. Hilchos Beis HaBechira, the chosen place. What an amazing idea. What is it about the Beis HaMikdash that's so connected to Bechira? So in Sifrei Chassidus and Kabbalah, we find a very deep idea. And that is that everything exists in 3 dimensions. What do I mean by 3 dimensions? A person, a place, and a time. So let me give you a simple example of how time and place and person all come together, how they all seem to coincide. You have, for example, the Kohen Gadol, maybe the greatest Jew in a certain sense, coming to the Kodesh Kadashim, the greatest place in a certain sense, on Yom HaKippurim, the greatest day in a certain sense. So you see how Kohen Gadol is the person that corresponds to the place called Kodesh Kadashim, corresponding to a time that's called Yom HaKippurim. And that's true about every person has a corresponding place. We all have, so to speak, a place in the world that our soul is connected to. We have a time that we're connected to. Some of us are Shabbos Dik Neshamas. The Zohar says that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was called Shabbos, because he was very connected, spiritually, he's connected to Shabbos. Some of us might be, a Monday afternoon or a Wednesday morning. There's all different types of souls. Some of us are rooted in Yerushalayim. Some of us might be, in some strange way, rooted in Omaha, Nebraska. I don't know. There's different ways that our souls are connected to time and to space. So if the Beis HaMikdash is the Beis HaBechira, if the Beis HaMikdash is, so to speak, the place of choosing, what is the time of choosing? What is the time that we're given the opportunity to choose? And the answer is Rosh Hashanah, the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, Yom HaKippurim. This is a time where Hashem says to the Jewish people, I'm giving you the ability to choose differently. I want you to start over. I want you to do tshuva. I want you to pick a different path for yourself. I want you to believe in the free will that we were just describing in the Rambam, in Hilchos Tshuva, that you could be a tzaddik, or you could be a rasha, and the choice is yours. The same way that the Beis HaMikdash, it's a very deep idea, the Beis HaMikdash is the starting point of creation. What do I mean by that? The place where Hashem first touched down when Hashem was creating the world was in the Kodesh Kadashim, the foundation stone as it's referred to, the Evin Shasiya. That's the point where Hashem first began creating this world. So the same way that the Kodesh Kadashim point in Puva, Yom HaKippurim, is the starting point in time. Okay, is everyone following so far? Does this make sense? So again, the Rambam has introduced us to the great gift of Bechira. The Beis HaMikdash we see is a place of Bechira. Beis HaMikdash is the starting point of place. And Rosh Hashanah, and these days, is the starting point in terms of time. It's so interesting to note, as the Sifrei Chassidus do, that the gematria of Rosh Hashanah is exactly the same as Beis HaMikdash. Interesting. Because what Beis HaMikdash is in a place, Rosh Hashanah is in a time. But I want to try to think about again, I want to try to think about Beis HaMikdash and Rosh Hashanah as both opportunities of choosing. The opportunity to choose again. Hilchos Beis HaBechira. Rosh Hashanah, a time where we do tshuva and we choose our fate. We're not forced by Hashem, says the Rambam. The choice is ours. Okay, the gematria of Rosh Hashanah is the same as Beis HaMikdash 861. Okay. Now, I want to just point out one other very interesting thing. There was a great tzaddik, his name was Rav Yosef Chaim Zannenfeld. Rav Yosef Chaim Zannenfeld was one of the great gedolim of Yerushalayim in the time period of Rav Kook, had a very different hashkafas hachaim than Rav Kook, but they were very close, and they were both great tzaddikim. And Rav Yosef Chaim Zannenfeld somehow figured out that there's only one pasuk in Tanakh that actually shares this gematria, 861. One complete verse in the entire Tanakh that has the same numerical equivalent as Rosh Hashanah and Beis HaMikdash, and that is this pasuk in Tehillim. You could check it, now you can go online and check it. I'm not sure how Rav Yosef Chaim Zannenfeld figured this out, but this is the only complete pasuk in Tanakh that shares the same numerical value, obviously implying some type of deep link. And it's an amazing pasuk. It's in Tehillim Kuf Yud Tes, and the pasuk says, L'mishpatecha omdu hayom ki akol avadecha. Can you imagine a pasuk that describes Rosh Hashanah better than that? L'mishpatecha omdu hayom. We are standing before you today in judgment, ki akol avadecha, because we are all your servants. Im kebanim, im ka'avadim. We're standing in judgment. Hayom. Hayom, we know, is a code word for Rosh Hashanah. Whenever we see the word hayom, Rashi writes at the beginning of Sefer Iyov, we also have it a passage in the Zohar, the word hayom is a code word for Rosh Hashanah. Atem nitzavim hayom, kulchem lefnei Hashem Elokeichem. Hayom means Rosh Hashanah. So amazing. Rosh Hashanah is gematria 861, the same gematria as Beis HaMikdash, both starting points and the ability to choose. And this pasuk in Tehillim, L'mishpatecha omdu hayom ki akol avadecha, is the only complete verse in Tanakh that shares the same gematria. But again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we read right before Rosh Hashanah and Parshas Nitzavim, wants us to choose life. And therefore the Torah tells us in source number 5, Ha'idosi bachem hayom, I am calling as witness today, today again being a code word for Rosh Hashanah. Hashem calls together heaven and earth to stand as witness before humanity, before human beings, that Hashem says to us, I'm placing before you, Hachayim v'hamaves nasati lefanecha, it's yours. You choose which book you want to write yourself in on Rosh Hashanah. Habracha v'haklala, it's all up to you, uvacharta b'chayim. And Hashem says, I'm rooting for you. I want you to choose life. I want you to be a tzaddik. I want you to be a person who again lives purposefully and very meaningfully. Okay? Let's go a step further. And we're going to put together a beautiful puzzle today. And it's all really to introduce a remarkable piece, which will be the centerpiece of this year. But we have a little more work to do before we get there. On Rosh Hashanah, we read the story of the Akedah, Bereishis Parachav Beis. We know that when we sound the shofar, one of the intentions that we have, Rav Sadia Gaon explains, when we hear the sound of the shofar shel ayil, the ram's horn, it reminds us of the ram that replaced Yitzchak at the moment of Akedas Yitzchak. And the Zohar actually writes in Parshas Vayetze that, do you know when Akedas Yitzchak was? What was the calendar date? Some say it was Rosh Hashanah. The Zohar in Vayetze says it was on Yom Kippur. So we're right in the sugya right now of Akedas Yitzchak. Let's talk about Akedas Yitzchak for a second. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Avram Avinu and says, Avram, I'm going to give you the ultimate test. V'halokim nisa as Avram. Hashem challenged Avram in a remarkable way, in an impossible way. Hashem says, I want you to take your son, who I just promised you one perek earlier, perek Chaf Aleph, is going to be the future of the Jewish people, and now I want you to brutally murder him. Can you imagine? It's an unfathomable thing, Akedas Yitzchak. It's the 10th and final test of Avram Avinu. It's the ultimate test. In many regards, we imagine that Akedas Yitzchak, if God tells you to do something, then, you know, even if it's really hard, you have to do it, especially if you know Hashem is talking to you. Some say maybe the test was that Avram wasn't sure if Hashem was really talking to him. But I found something amazing a number of years ago in the Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes was the Ger Rebbe who passed away in the early 20th century. And then just very, very recently, I found that already the Ran, Rabbeinu Nisim, in the 1300s says the same thing. My friends, the Sfas Emes and the Ran explained to us that Akedas Yitzchak was a choice. Now, I know that sounds crazy. What do you mean it was a choice? How can Akedas Yitzchak be a choice? Listen to the words of the Sfas Emes. This is unbelievable. And it's explicit in the Torah. The Sfas Emes writes in Parshas Vayera, in source number 6, Be'inyan ha'akeda, with regard to the akeda, Hashem says to Avram Avinu, Kachna, please take your son. Why does Hashem have to say please? Kachna, please. It sounds almost like you're making a request, Hashem. Writes the Sfas Emes, it's unbelievable. Look what the Sfas Emes says. Nira, it appears, Ki me'acher she'evtichu b'yitzchak yikara l'chazara. After Hashem has just promised Avram Avinu, slightly before in Perichaf Aleph, Hashem promised that what? That Yitzchak is going to be the future of the Jewish people. Nemar b'lasho bakasha. Hashem can't demand an akeda. Hashem can only request it. He gave Avram a choice. You realize how scary that is? You realize how much more complicated that is? Meaning, you want me to do something that sounds insane, so just tell me to do it. And if I believe that you're the creator of the world, maybe I'll do it for you. Maybe I'll do it for you. It's like when a parent says to a child, you know, like, I would appreciate if you did this. Like, so do I have to do it? The parent's like, I would be happy if you did. So like, mom, dad, just tell me, like, should I do it or not do it? Right? If it's a chore, if it's a responsibility, I'll do it. If I don't have to do it, then I'd rather go do something else. I'd rather go outside and play with my friends. Right? It's very confusing sometimes when you choose. You know what's right. You know the right thing to do. Hashem says, I would appreciate, after waiting 100 years for your child, the future of monotheism, the future of the Jewish people, the future of everything you live for, Avram Avinu, I wouldn't mind if you decided to kill Yitzchak. Do you know how confusing that is? But Hashem said, Kachna, please take. Peirish shebikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu mimenu sheyimcho lo hamatana v'sheyaaleyu la'ola. Hashem asked Avram to please forgive the gift that I gave you, namely Yitzchak, the promise that I gave you that Yitzchak is the future, and offer him as a carbon, if you don't mind. You realize what an unbelievable nisayon that is? And yet Avram Avinu somehow made that choice on Yom Kippur in these days of Bechira, in the Kodesh Kadashim, the first place where Hashem touched down when creating the world, in the Beis HaBechira. That's so unbelievable. That's the ultimate expression of choosing. And again, the Ran already in the 1300s said a very, very similar thing. I always thought this was a Sfas Emes. I was blown away when I found this recently. The Ran, Rabbeinu Nissim, in the 1300s writes in the Drashos HaRan, in his magnificent essays, he writes, there is nothing more unnatural than being asked to what? To slaughter your beloved child, who was not a little kid at the time. He was a grown man. He was the future. This was everything. He's going to carry on the legacy of Avram and Sarah. There would have been no punishment if Avram said no. He had the right of refusal. Because Hashem did not command Avram to slaughter Yitzchak. Rather, Hashem had promised Avram, Ki b'Yitzchak yikar elecha zara. And that's why it says, Kachna es bincha. Shezeha maimer eino lashon tzivoy ela lashon bakasha. It was a request. And Avram Avinu had every right to refuse, and he would not have been punished for it. And yet Avram Avinu chose the Akedah because he knew that's what Hashem wanted. So much to unpack there. There's so much to think about there. But that was the choice that Avram Avinu made at the Akedah. And you have to understand the significance of the choice. Sfas Emes develops it elsewhere. The Or Gedaliah, Rav Gedaliah Shor, explains it at length. You either have Akedas Yitzchak, or we have people learning Torah right now. Right? Meaning everyone who's here, Rivka, Shira, Erica, Serena, Moshe Tzvi, Nava, everyone who's here learning Torah right now, we all go down with the Akedah. If the Akedah happens, there is no us. And not only is there no us right here in this moment, if there's an Akedah, then there's no Yaakov. There's no Shvatim. There's no Vilna Gaon, and there's no Baal Shem Tov, and there's no Rebetzin Heni Machlis, and there's no nobody. There's no Rivka, there's nothing. Everything goes up in smoke. The Jewish people are destroyed. All of history, every mitzvah we've ever done is gone. Every act of chesed, every tefillah, every kapitel tehillim that we've said for a chola is all gone. So Avram, if he's going to do the Akedah, he has to put enough emotion into it that it's worth it to trade away the rest of Jewish history. That's also an awesome thing to think about. And truly, truly mind-boggling that Avram would be able to choose it with the confidence that this is what Hashem wants, and I'm going to be able to do it in such a way, with such joy, and with such fervor, that it's going to be worth it to trade away the rest of Jewish history. Interestingly enough, the tzaddikim point out, amazing, look at this, Source number 8. Vayihi achar advar me'ela velokim nisas Avram. This introduction to the Akedah, when Hashem calls to Avram and Avram says, Hineni, I'm prepared to do whatever you want me to do, Hashem. And I know you're not going to force me. It's a choice. And I'm going to choose it. The Svarim point out, the Tzaddikim point out, that the gematria of these four words, Valokim Nisas Avram, is also gematria 861. The same gematria as Beis HaMikdash, the same gematria as Rosh Hashanah. Again, this awesome, this ultimate moment of choosing, when Hashem challenged Avram, and again, most of the Nisyonos of Avram are not called a Nisayon. This one the Torah refers to as a Nisayon. Halokim Nisas Avram, Hashem challenged Avram, is gematria 861, and Avram made the ultimate choice. But now we come really, we've learned already a lot of exciting things, but now we come really to the centerpiece of the shir. And I want to ask you a question. It seems like an easy question, but it's actually something that a lot of people don't know. Why do we blow a shofar on Rosh Hashanah? A little bit I regret that we didn't have the chance to learn this before Rosh Hashanah, but you'll see it's perfectly relevant right after Rosh Hashanah. Because what happened on Rosh Hashanah? But before we get to that, why do we blow a shofar on Rosh Hashanah? So you'll tell me, what do you mean? The Torah says. The Torah says in two places that Rosh Hashanah is a zichron trua in Parshas Emor. It's a yom terua, a day of sounding, of blasting in Parshas Pinchas. Does the Torah ever use the word shofar by Rosh Hashanah? How do you know? It says trua. Maybe trua means play a trumpet, play a trombone. How do you know to use a shofar? Very interesting question. And if you read the Torah, you're not going to find the shofar by Rosh Hashanah, which is fascinating. Where do we find the shofar in the Torah? So if you look in Parshas Bahar in source number 9, when the Torah describes Yovel, we know that at the end of every 7 years, the seventh year is a Shemitah year. After seven cycles of Shemitah, seven times seven, after 49 years, we have a Yovel year. And the Torah describes what happens in a Yovel year. V'ha'avarta shofar trua. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, this is how we know to blow a shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Because by Rosh Hashanah, it says the word trua, yom terua. Rosh Hashanah is a day of blasting. By Yovel, it says shofar. So just like we blow shofar in a Yovel year, we also blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, that's what the Gemara works out in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. So the source for shofar is what? Is Yovel. Bachodesh Hashvii Ba'asar Lachodesh, in the month of Tishrei, on Yom Kippur, of a Yovel year, we blow the shofar. Let me say that again, in case we don't remember these psukim. Rosh Hashanah, every year we blow the shofar. But in a Yovel year, in the 50th year of the Shemitah cycle, we also blow shofar when? On Yom Kippur. Just like we have a Seder of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros in the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Kippur of Yovel, we also have a similar thing. Ta'aviru shofar b'chol artzachem. We sound the shofar. And my friends, what happens when we sound the shofar? What happens in a Yovel year? What happens? What's special in a Yovel year? V'kidashtem eshnas ha'chamishim shana. We sanctify the 50th year. U'kurasem dror ba'aretz l'chol yosheva. I was born and raised in Philadelphia, and this is the pasuk that's on the Liberty Bell. U'kurasem dror ba'aretz l'chol yosheva. You should proclaim liberty throughout the land. That's what it says on the Liberty Bell. That's this pasuk in Parshas Bahar. You should proclaim liberty, freedom. Dror means chayrus, freedom. You should proclaim freedom throughout the land. When Yovel comes, slaves go free. Debts are forgiven. Land is restored to its original owner. Ish al mishpachto tashuvu. V'shavtem ish al achuz aso. Everyone goes back. It's a reset. Yovel has a lot to do with tshuva. It brings everything back to where it's supposed to be. Going back to that starting point, as it were. So my friends, here's the question I want to ask you. Let's put together all the pieces that we have so far. We started off by saying that Rosh Hashanah is in time, what the Beis HaMikdash is in a place. The Akedah took place, Akedah Yitzchak took place when? Maybe on Rosh Hashanah, maybe on Yom Kippur. Definitely around now. Where did the Akedah take place? Where was it? In the place of the Beis HaMikdash. On Rosh Hashanah, we sound a shofar. How do we know a shofar? We learn it from Yovel. Uh-huh. So if Rosh Hashanah is the Beis HaMikdash, is Akedah Yitzchak, is the shofar, is Yovel, I guess through the transitive property, if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C, somehow shofar, listen carefully, somehow shofar must have something to do, as the Pasuk seems to say right here, with dror, with freedom. shofar truah somehow declares freedom. And if the shofar that we blow on Rosh Hashanah reminds us of the ram at Akedah Yitzchak, it must be that there's some type of freedom at the Akedah. So my question to you, and this is the real question that I came here today to share with you, came here today. I'm sitting in my basement. I didn't come anywhere. But we got together today to talk about this question. What is the freedom of the Akedah? And my friends, it was worth it to be alive to hear this piece of Torah that we're about to learn. It comes from a sefer called Malchus Shlomo. I have it right here. And you have it on the screen in front of you, and his writings on Rosh Hashanah. Rebben Tzion Chaim Shlomo Meshulam Zusha. How's that for a name? Ben Tzion Chaim Shlomo Meshulam Zusha Tversky. Okay? Who was this Tzaddik? This was the Hornstipler Rebbe from Denver, Colorado. He passed away in 1981. He was the son of the late Hornstipler Rebbe from Milwaukee, for those who are familiar with who that Tzaddik was. He's the older brother of the current Rebbe of Milwaukee, the Hornstipler Rebbe of Milwaukee. And if you have any of Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Twersky's, like, you know, 75 books that he's written over the years, so it was his older brother also, okay? The Hornstipler Rebbe from Denver, Colorado, an amazing tzaddik, Rav Shlomo Twersky. He went by Rav Shlomo, even though his name is Ben Tzion Chaim Shlomo Meshulam Zusha. He went by Rav Shlomo Twersky. He was a big tzaddik, again, passed away in the early 80s. So, Chevra, listen to this. This is unbelievable. This is amazing. Listen to this. How does the shofar of Rosh Hashanah connect us to Cheres? What was the freedom of the Akedah? And we sort of hinted to it in the Sfas Emes and the Drashos Haran, but look how he says it in the Malchus Shlomo. It's so beautiful. Akedas Yitzchak Haya Nisayon Gadol La'Avram Avinu Olav Hashalom. The Akedah obviously was a massive Nisayon. Lo rak b'pnei shahaya neged hargashos of hativim shelo lishchot b'no. Beyond the obvious difficulty of overcoming the natural feelings that a parent has for a child being asked to slaughter his son, ela hayagam neged kol hasagosav b'habore yisparach. You know what the challenge of the Akedah was? It was antithetical to everything Avraham thought that God was. It was antithetical to everything Avram had been preaching his whole life. What is the midah of Avram Avinu? Ki midas Avram Avinu haya chesed. Avram's whole life is about spreading the love, spreading the kindness, spreading the positivity, teaching people you don't need to be murderers who kill your children in idol worshiping, you know, practices. Avram Avinu was the ish chesed par excellence. V'chol avodaso v'chol hasagosav b'Hashem yisbarach chayi b'chesed. His whole life was a life of chesed. And he taught everyone that that's what God is about. That's what Hashem is about. And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him to do the most cruel thing in the world, to slaughter his own son. And Avraham Avinu is prepared to do it. And as we learned in Sfas Emes and Drashos Haran, it's a choice. And he chose it. He chose to think antithetically to everything that he believed, the opposite of everything he thought he understood his whole life. Ubeli lahar her neged Hashem yisbarach kom Avram Avinu olav shalom la'asos ritzono yisbarach. And Avram Avinu was willing to do it. And look what the chiddush of Rav Shlomo Twersky is, this next line. Vahainu, shelo tzimtzem atzmo rak l'ma shehisi kvar. Avram Avinu was not trapped in his understanding of how things ought to be, of how things were. Avram was the most free person who ever was. He was free to choose differently. And the brilliance of what this piece is saying is that to call that cheres, that's the chiddush of Rav Shlomo Twersky. That's the chiddush of the Hornstipler Rebbe, Zecher Tzaddik V'Kadosh Levracha. To say that Avram's willingness to choose something different because he realized that this is what Hashem wants, He was free. You realize that meant that he had to say that until now, everything I did was a little bit off. I thought I understood Hashem, and it means that every day of my life up to this point, I didn't really understand Hashem. And I didn't really understand what Hashem wants from me. And he wasn't stuck in himself. He was able to get out of his own way to choose differently. Hayamuchan l'shanos kol havanos of karega, to overturn his entire understanding in a moment. V'zehu hacheres ha'amiti. That is the greatest freedom that a person can have. So the freedom of the Akedah was Avram's willingness to reassess everything that he thought had to be. It didn't have to be that way. He was willing to think differently. And my friends, that's what happens to every one of us on Rosh Hashanah and Aseres Yemei Tshuva and Yom Kippur. When we hear the sound of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, we go free. We go free. It goes back to the Rambam that we started with. It's a cry saying, you don't have to live the way that you're living. You could choose totally different. And you don't have to be a bad person. Avram's a really good guy. Avram's done a lot of good things in his life. But he was willing, he had the honesty and the humility and the freedom to reassess the whole thing and to try to fine-tune his life, to be a little bit more in tune with the Ratzon Hashem. That is so gevaldik, that a person could be so free to think so honestly. That's the godless of the Akedah, that's the chayrus of the shofar of Yovel that we think about on Rosh Hashanah. The Zohar says, what happens in Shemayim? We're running a little short on time, so I'll just share with you outside. But the Zohar says in Parshas Pekudei, you know what happens when we sound the shofar on Rosh Hashanah? It's like a jailbreak. You know, the Yetzer Hara, the Satan, wants to hold us all captive. He wants to chain us down. But at the moment that we sound the shofar, there's such chaos in Shemayim that the Satan, the Sitra Achra, as the Zohar calls it, the other side, the dark forces, as it were, are so startled that they can't pay attention to the people who are being held in captivity, which is each and every one of us, enslaved on some level to our Yetzer Hara. So at that moment, as the Yetzer Hara, as the Sitra Achra, as the Satan is being overwhelmed, and he's trying to figure out what's going on, where is that shofar coming from, you have the opportunity to escape. You can escape from the captivity of the Yetzer Hara. Do you know what else happened on Rosh Hashanah, historically? I'll tell you something else that happened on Rosh Hashanah. The Shem Yishmuel reminds us in source number 12. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us that on Rosh Hashanah, Yatza Yosef mi Beis HaAsurim, an amazing historical fact. You know what day Yosef HaTzadik got out of jail? You know what day Yosef went free? Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says. Explains the Rebbe of Sakachov, the Shem Yishmuel, the grandson of the Kotzker Rebbe. Hinei kol Yisrael nikro al Shem Yosef. Every one of us is connected to Yosef. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Bnei Yaakov vi Yosef Sela. We're not just children of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. Every one of us are we're Bnei Yosef. And that means that what? That means every year on Rosh Hashanah, as the spirit of Yosef leaves jail once again, every one of us leaves jail. Every one of us has the chance to go free, to choose differently. Uvachol shana misoreres yitzias Yosef mi beis ha'asurim. Every year on Rosh Hashanah, Yosef goes free. Uvachreach kol ish Yisrael yotzi mi beis ha'asurim shalom. We all have the opportunity to go free on Rosh Hashanah. What an amazing opportunity, but we have to seize it, we have to grab it. The Shem Yishmuel goes on to explain. We know there are three books that are open on Rosh Hashanah. If we're righteous, in the book of Tzaddikim, immediately. If we're wicked, God forbid, in the book of Rishon, immediately. Most people spend these 10 days in the book of Beinonim. And from the Gemara and the Rambam, it sounds like we have to decide what we're going to do with these days. If we make a move in the right direction, so then we're in the book of Tzaddikim. If we make a move in the wrong direction, obviously we're in the book of Rishon. What happens if we don't make a move? What happens if we just stay where we are? It's hard to imagine we'd stay exactly 50-50, whatever that means. But what if we remain a Beinoni? What if we don't make a move during these days? The implication of the Gemara is that we're guilty. Guilty, why? I would think, says the Shem Yishmuel, that if we're 50-50, Hashem, who always favors the side of kindness, would round up. No? You would think if we're stuck exactly in the middle, somewhere between the book of life and the book of death, you would think HaKadosh Baruch Hu would tip the scales. Mata klapei chesed. Why is it that if we stay 50-50, HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes us? And the answer is, says the Shem Yishmuel, because when you had the opportunity to go free and you squandered it, you're guilty. If we don't take advantage of these days, Yosef coming out of jail, the shofar of Rosh Hashanah, the freedom of Avram Avinu out of Kedas Yitzchak, the Beis HaBechira, the return to Kodesh Kadashim, the place where Hashem first chose to create this world. If we don't use that gift of Bechira, if we choose to sit in the jail cell when the door is open, then that's such an unbelievably foolish mistake that Hashem says, I can't forgive. That itself is a crime. That itself is a terrible tragedy. Rabbeinu Yonah in the Shari Tshuva quotes a mashal from the Medrash in Koheles of exactly this. A mashal of a group of bandits who are sitting in jail and there's a jailbreak. They decide one night to escape. And they dig a hole under their jail cell and they're trying to tunnel out and they escape. And all of a sudden the head of the warden of the jail comes to the jail cell and sees one fellow just sitting there. And he says to him, what are you doing here? So he says, I don't know. He said, everyone else escaped. So he says to the warden, you probably want me to stay, no? So he said, the fact that you're staying, you're basically admitting you're the most guilty person ever. How could you not escape? Like, the door was open to you. How did you not take advantage of it? The jailer says, the warden says, I'm going to punish you much more for not escaping. And says Rabbeinu Yonah in his magnum opus, the Shari Tshuva, Ki achote kasher yisacher leshuv mechataso. When Hashem gives you the choice and you delay, yisacher, when you delay, Hashem punishes you more. Because what a lost opportunity. What a tragedy to not take advantage of that opportunity. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the chance to reassess during these days, to rethink about our whole life. How do I want to imagine things to be different? In the biography of Rebbe Tzinheni Machlis, it tells a story about the most difficult guest the Machlises ever had in their home. This fellow was so rude, was so disrespectful. Rav Machlis got up in the middle of the meal, he walked away from the table, and he said to his beloved wife, Aleha Shalom, I can't sit here anymore. I can't sit here, I can't finish the Shabbos meal like this. Every Dvar Torah, every song, everything, this fellow was poking fun. He's a college-age boy. He was poking fun at every single thing that happened. Everything, he was making fun, he was mocking, he was ridiculing Rav Machlis. I mean, the Machlises opened their home to give out free meals to anyone and everyone. And this person was so ungrateful and just sat there just being mezalzel the whole time. Rebbe Tzimachlis told her beloved husband, she said, listen, Mordechai, go back to the table, finish the meal. Don't talk to his body, talk to his neshama. His neshama wants to hear what's right. And she convinced her husband to go back, and he went back and he finished the meal. As this college-age young man was leaving their apartment, he's walking out the door. And one of the Machlis children, who was a seven-year-old boy at the time, turns to this young man who was wearing a nose ring at the time, and he says to him, he says, he figures this fellow deserves a little rebuking after the way he behaved for the last couple of hours. So he says to him, hey, what's with that stupid thing in your nose? So this kid says back to him, he points to, I think it was Yoshua Machlis, 7 years old, he points to him and he says, what's with that dumb thing on your head? You know, I can dish it out also. So he says back to him, without missing a beat, he says back to him, oh, this on my head? This is to remind me that there's someone above me, that there's a God in this world who's responsible for my existence. So that's the answer to your question. So now you answer my question. What's with that dumb thing in your nose? And he said he walked out of the apartment and he went back to his dorm room, and this is how it's recorded in the biography. It says he wrote in his journal, here was a seven-year-old boy who had thought about why he does the things that he does. And here I am, I'm in my late teens or early 20s. And I do certain things culturally that I never really stopped to think about. And he said, I started to think. This boy got me thinking. He was free enough after being such a stubborn person, not willing to receive, but he made a choice finally. It took a seven-year-old boy's mussar to allow him to choose differently, to finally to think differently, to open himself up, to reassess in a different way. I want to just conclude with the last two sources. In the Sefer Lev Mordechai by Mordechai Zuckerman, he asks a famous question. Why is it that Rosh Hashanah comes before Yom Kippurim? It's the question that Rav Yitzchak Blazer, the student of Rav Yisrael Salanter, famously asked. Wouldn't it make more sense to have it the other way around? Wouldn't it make a lot more sense to first clean up on Yom Kippur and then stand in judgment on Rosh Hashanah? Why does Rosh Hashanah come first? And he gives a remarkable answer. He says, "Venira hezber pashut." You could explain simply. "Dihine ki adua derech hamalachim." It's the way of kings. When a king or a president is given the authority, that high-ranking authority, who mishachirer asirim, he has the ability to pardon people from prison, to grant freedom to individuals who he feels deserve amnesty. You see over here, amnesti in Hebrew. Umikev an shebarash Hashana, kol shana v'shana nosnim keser malucha. So by crowning Hashem king on Rosh Hashanah, by reminding, as it were, that Hashem has the authority as the king to pardon, then we come to Yom Kippur. After placing the crown on Hashem's head, then we come to Yom Kippur. After Hashem has given us rishus to blow the shofar and to open up the jail cells, to free our souls to choose differently, then we come to Yom Kippur and we say, Hashem, please grant us that pardon. But says Rav Mordechai Zuckerman, Amnam zedafka mishishtatef bachtara. But we have to really believe in placing the crown on Hashem's head during these days, in order to ask for that presidential pardon, for the king to grant us amnesty. It doesn't come automatically. So I end with the tefillah that we daven many, many times. Every Shemona Esrei. Tika b'shofar gadol. And you'll think about it a different way from the rest of your life, God willing. Tika b'shofar gadol. We long for the shofar of Mashiach, which is a shofar of what? Of Cheirusenu. It's not just about getting out of Galus. It's not just about coming back to Eretz Yisrael. It's not just about building the third Beis HaMikdash. We daven to be able to hear the shofar of Rosh Hashanah each and every day of our lives, to believe in the Bechira Chofshis, that awesome gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given to each and every one of us, and to allow ourselves to choose differently. You don't have to be a bad person to choose differently. Avram Avinu was a very fine individual. And yet Avram was prepared with humility to reassess his whole life to just be better, to be a little bit more in tune with the Ratzon Hashem. And again, that's what these days offer us the opportunity to do. So we should be zochet to hear the sound of that great shofar, the shofar of Mashiach, as we return to Eretz Yisrael with the Gula Shlema B'mehera B'yameinu Amen. Gmar Chesima Tova to everyone. Thank you for being here. Look at the year together.
Thank you so, so much.
Thank you.